Module 4, Video 6, Intestinal Permeability. So we've looked at small intestinal bacteria overgrowth and small intestinal fungal overgrowth, and we mentioned in the context with both of those conditions that intestinal permeability is a likely sequelae of those sorts of things. We've also mentioned that intestinal permeability is part of the triad of a link of root causes of autoimmune disease. This is why intestinal permeability is so important. So what is it exactly? Intestinal permeability, we are looking here at a physiological picture of two cells. So the top of this graph has the intestinal villi. The bottom of the graph is basically the blood. What we're looking at is we have a cell on the right and we have a cell on the left. So we have a cell here and we have a cell here. These are the villi, this is the blood. And these tight junctions we see here are these pink things in the middle. So they're kind of the space between each cell. Now in health, what happens is when we eat a meal and we've broken down nutrients into their micronutrients, a hormone called zonulin is released, and zonulin will actually cause these tight junctions to open slightly, allowing for micronutrients to move from here, the lumen, through this space all the way to the blood. The problem is that with disease processes such as LPS or parasites or even gluten, even in the absence of sensitivity or reactivity, zonulin levels increase. And then what happens is these tight junction spaces open really wide, and this widening allows for macronutrients, for whole peptides, for example, or whole proteins that have not been broken down to move from the intestine into the bloodstream. And once that happens, we start to get this process that's known as molecular mimicry. Now we have whole proteins in the blood. Our immune system's not set up to recognize whole proteins. Our immune system's set up to recognize things like beta carotene or vitamin C or glycine, you know, these broken down nutrients. And so the immune system, when it sees these whole peptides and proteins, it actually launches an immunological response. Now some of these antigens of these proteins are so similar to the antigens and the proteins in our tissue that the immune system, when it sees the similarity, it will actually, instead of just attacking the food, it actually starts to attack our own tissue. So that's the pathogenesis of how intestinal permeability can actually lead to autoimmune disease. Another important piece to consider here is the fact that, yes, indeed, as you might have guessed it, once we have all of these antigens, all of these proteins in the blood, we can start to get more food sensitivity. So it's not the only reason we get food sensitivities, but it's one of the main reasons we get food sensitivities. So if we do a food sensitivity test and we see that there are a lot of foods that come up, that is a big, especially from an IgG component, that is a big sign that we have intestinal permeability happening. So here's the research study that's basically showing this triad that we've mentioned, the genetic predisposition and that environmental factor to activate the gene. But even with these two components, we still do not necessarily get autoimmunity. It really takes that third component, the intestinal permeability, to lead to autoimmunity. And what was so cool about that study that I just put up is that that study showed that when intestinal permeability was eliminated, that the autoimmune disease, both the symptoms and the autoimmune markers, returned to normal. And this was without even addressing any of the environmental factors. Now, of course, environmental factors can be things like viruses or toxins or other microorganisms that are pathogens. So we do, of course, want to figure out what that environmental trigger is for you know, just generalized health purposes, but it's definitely pretty clear from that research that we can actually reverse autoimmunity really just by working with the intestinal permeability. But once again, we do want to root it in the fact that we're not going to be able to get to the bottom of intestinal permeability if we just do the treatments that are going to be discussed here in the next few videos. Instead, we want to first do things like figure out the cause. Is it SIBO? Is it SIFO? Are there other causes? You know, are there toxins? Metals can certainly do it. Certain pesticides. Are there parasites? gluten, you know, all these things can basically be the cause. So we want to eliminate and treat the cause of the intestinal permeability, remove that, and then come later and actually treat the intestinal permeability. So it's estimated by the CDC that 8% of Americans have autoimmune disease, that 2.5 million Americans have undiagnosed lupus, that diabetes, 9% have diabetes, type 1 and type 2. So some of that is autoimmune, some of that is not. But knowing that autoimmunity is so linked to the progression of, that intestinal permeability is linked to the progression of these autoimmune type of conditions, it just gives so much, say, clinical reason to be going deep with this data and understanding this material. So what also is cool is that we can stop and reverse autoimmune disease before it happens. And there is this amazing research study that came out that basically the researcher went into the VA and looked at people in the VA and looked at them for their autoimmune conditions. It was actually lupus that was studied in this particular study. And what was realized by this researcher is that when people join the military, that they put their blood in blood banks. So this researcher went and polled people that had been diagnosed with lupus and pulled their blood with and looked inside their blood from many years prior looking for autoimmune markers for a lupus. And what was discovered is the average person had autoimmune markers showing up in their blood about 7 years prior to diagnosis, meaning they probably hadn't had symptoms yet, or at least for not very long. Nothing was, say, from a lupus perspective, changing on some of the basic labs. We're not seeing bun and creatinine change, any reason to look for autoimmune disease. But what we're realizing is those markers show up before there's been much tissue damage or change. So when we look for those markers, when we do things like treat intestinal permeability, we can actually stop and reverse autoimmune disease, therefore, before somebody actually has any symptoms or sign of the disease process. So another thing to be aware of, and this kind of brings us full circle back to small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. So small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, most of those bacteria are gram-negative bacteria, and any gram-negative bacteria release lipopolysaccharides. Now, lipopolysaccharides get so much press. Now, part of the reason is because of the physiology of how they actually affect our body. So lipopolysaccharides we're talking about here because they are a big trigger and a cause of intestinal permeability. Now, there's many other causes, including gram-positive bacteria can also trigger intestinal permeability. But one of the reasons why lipopolysaccharides are so influential and why they get so much press is because they actually bind to a specific toll-like receptor subtype known as toll-like receptor 4. And toll-like receptor 4 has been very linked to the pathogenesis and the progression of autoimmune disease. So here's kind of a link of how SIBO, and in particular LPS, has a particular ability of influencing the progression of autoimmunity. So when we're really looking at intestinal permeability and autoimmune disease, we also want to consider making sure, of course, that we do not have SIBO or any gram-negative infections going on. So in the next video, we will talk about how to test for intestinal permeability.